Next week, former Senator John Ashcroft will seek Senate confirmation to become the next Attorney General of the United States. The Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to begin confirmation hearings on Tuesday. Some lawmakers and advocacy groups have voiced concern that Mr. Ashcroft's conservative political beliefs may help weaken federal laws he dislikes. As a senator, Mr. Ashcroft opposed abortion rights and gun control. He's also blocked the appointments of judges to the federal bench, whom he's considered too liberal. Our Dan Shore discussed the powers of the Office of Attorney General with Steve Salzberg, an assistant deputy at the Justice Department during the Reagan administration. He now teaches law at George Washington University. And veteran Los Angeles Times reporter Ron Oslow, co-author of the book Taking Care of the Law.
Gentlemen, President Kennedy made his brother attorney general, and then he joked that his brother needed some legal experience. And so Robert Kennedy went on to pursue civil rights and Jimmy Hoffa. President Nixon named his campaign manager John Mitchell, who went to the Supreme Court trying to suppress the Pentagon Papers. President Reagan named his campaign manager Ed Meese, who tried to fend off the Iran-Contra scandal. And now, ex-Senator John Ashcroft with some strong conservative views about what the law should be. Professor Salzberg, should the president be able to have an attorney general with loyalties to something other than the strict administration of the law?
I think the president has every right to choose an attorney general who will carry out the president's view of where priorities ought to be set and where law enforcement resources ought to be expended. And the fact that the attorney general may have strong views is not a problem if those views are congruent with those of the president.
You don't say if they're congruent with the way the law reads.
Well, the attorney general has an influence on the law. Can't change the law very much, can propose changes, but the thing that the attorney general can do is the attorney general can change in a rather dramatic fashion the way in which law enforcement resources, Justice Department money gets spent. And the priorities really do matter in terms of the way the law enforcement occurs in this country.
And so, Ron, how does the attorney general change the Justice Department and the way things are done?
Well, I think, as Steve mentioned, it's the resources that are expended or devoted to various things. For instance, if this attorney general candidate nominee carried out some of his personal philosophy by saying, "Oh no, we're going to go light on enforcement of the demonstrations around abortion clinics," for example. Now, you know, Attorney General Reno did the opposite of going light. I mean,
right.
She had the U.S. Marshals involved and everything else at the beginning. I don't think he will be unwise enough to do anything that extreme. But there are a number of policy levels that he can pull back resources and devote more resources to. The victims of crime is a good example where the Justice Department could spend a lot of money in that area.
I think that the strongest attorney general, I'm not saying best, people make their own judgment about that, the strongest attorney general since Robert Kennedy was Ed Meese, in terms of the support he had of the president.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he did was he revolutionized in many respects the way in which the federal judiciary got selected. And I don't know that there was ever a revolution in terms of the kind of appointments made to the bench, the age of the appointees, and the single-minded philosophy before Ed Meese, and I'm not sure we've seen it after. And I think that one of the things that the Senate's going to be worried about and ought to be worried about is not that there'll be an argument in the Supreme Court about Roe v. Wade. It's that the judges will be stacked in a way that will, in the lower courts, change the law in a direction that might become, for some people, much more conservative than they would like.
Ron Oslow, you share the admiration for Ed Meese?
No, I don't share it in the way Steve spells it out. I mean, he's a fine man. Don't misunderstand me.
Of course.
But I think in administering
so are they
the
all.
Office, right, he was, as Steve noted, a close friend, and he was pardoned secretary when he was in governor of California of President Reagan. That is the key to the office, as far as I'm concerned, of attorney general. The distance the attorney general is able to maintain from his or her own White House. I mean, it's become essential. And I don't think, given Iran-Contra, that Ed Meese did maintain what I thought was the proper distance. I think Griffin Bell,
President Carter's Attorney General. Yes.
That's right, right. Did maintain that distance.
I do say, let me just say in responding a little bit to Ron, Robert Kennedy was a powerful Attorney General because his brother was the president. After Robert Kennedy, I think one of the most powerful attorneys general, whether you thought he was too close to the president or not, the power was there, was Ed Meese. And he was powerful because the president trusted him implicitly and gave him authority to do a lot of things as attorney general. I'm not sure. I think that Jimmy Carter trusted Griffin Bell, and he was an excellent attorney general, but I don't think he had quite the same clout. Janet Reno is a good example, it seems to me, of somebody who, at least in the beginning, everybody agreed was separate from and distant from the White House. But one of the things that hurt was, over time, one got the sense that she may have been very independent, but I'm not sure she was as powerful as the Meese, as Ed Meese was in his Justice Department.
Well, again, my measure is the distance they're able to maintain. Perhaps it's the times in which we live. But I think it's necessary to have a Justice Department that's at best arm's length from its own White House. Mm-hmm. When I tried that view on the late William French Smith when he was coming into office, he shook his head and said, that's where Griffin was wrong, talking about his mm-hmm. predecessor. He said, you've got to have collegiality. That was big with him, collegiality between the White House and the Justice Department.
Right.
I think that's something that's going to be with us in our time. The distance that they can maintain from the White House in criminal investigations, in civil rights calls, in the very topics that this nominee will, if confirmed, be concerned with, is an important thing.
Thank you, Ron Astrow. Thank you, Steve Salzberg. I've learned something. I would have thought, not knowing a lot about this, that the distance you maintain from the White House is the measure of a good attorney general. Now I've learned that if you want to be a really effective attorney general, you better be pretty close to the president. Thank you both. This is Daniel Shore.